Sorry about that. Good morning.
Good morning.
So my name is Frank O'Neill. I'm one of the pastors here at Shelter Rock Church. And this morning, we're going to continue on in our series. And the topic that was assigned to me is to talk about true prosperity. True prosperity. And the Bible has a lot to say about prosperity. In fact, John quotes Jesus himself in John, the 10th chapter, when he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, abundant life. John, in his letter, his third epistle, he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Our text is going to be from Philippians, though, the fourth chapter, which is one of Paul's epistles, when he says this, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know, underline no, what it is to have plenty. I have learned, underline learned, the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength, or through Christ who strengthens me. Can we bow our heads, please? God, thank you this morning. Father, I pray, because we need you here. We need you here, God, because when we approach your words are alive and they are powerful. And your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, God. So we need you to renew our minds. Renew our minds. Renew our hearts. God, we are the clay. You are the potter. We are your workmanship. There are things about our salvation that we need to taste and embrace and know them not just in our heads, but know them in our experience, God. So today, would you make your word alive to us? And we know that it is alive, but to us, we need it to be alive. We need our ears to be open to hear what your spirit is saying to us all, God, because we need you. Every person, my brothers and sisters here, we all need you, God. We need to hear your voice speaking to us in a clarion voice into our souls, God, so that we might be transformed today, transformed from glory to glory, God, and experience your life in us. So, God, we give you this time. We give you this place. We give you this portion, Lord. Would you do beyond what we can ask or imagine with it. And God, give me freedom to speak, Lord. God, I'm bringing fish and loaves, and you can do wonders with that, Lord. So God, have your way here among us, God. Help us to feed at your table and to be nourished by your rich fare. We ask it all, and we expect it from you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. So, obviously, the Bible talks about prosperity. Jesus talked about prosperity. There's a place for prosperity in our lives. We want to find out what true prosperity is. Now, Paul is a great example. Paul, one of the main teachers in the New Testament, if not the main teacher, he writes these words, and he discovered something. He discovered something. And often we know that portion in the last phrase that he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many have heard that before? How many have ever said that to someone? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And sometimes we use that as a rallying cry or a profession. And something kind of, we try to kind of soup ourselves up. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But in the context in which Paul said it, it was not like that. It was not like that. In fact, if you use the terms he uses in the context, notice how many times he said, I know what it's like. I know. I have learned. Where do you get to know things and where do you get to learn things? S-C-H-O-O. Can someone, what's that, what is that game? You put letters up there. And, give me an E. Give me an O. School. In school. So Paul is saying, I have been in a school and I have learned in this school that I can do all things. I have experienced Jesus with me in the midst of a variety of circumstances. There are times when I have had a lot and an abundance. And there are other circumstances that I haven't had much at all. There have been sunny days and there have been cloudy days. And I have learned the secret of being able to process all of these and not being moved in here and not going crazy. And not, I have learned that I can do all things to Christ. The first thing he was in a school, and I have learned that I can do all things. That is a graduation statement. I've been through the school, and this is what I learned. This is what I learned. So, everybody here, welcome to school. Because you're in a school. You are. I am. You've been. Because God wants to teach you and me how to be really, truly prosperous, how to live life abundantly, how to live life and enjoy life to the full. When you're in school right now, we're in June. My wife works in the school. How many people work in schools or you have children in school? Let me see. You have children in school, you work in schools. And what's about this time? What's going on in school? They're having their final. So how do you know, if you're in school, how do you know that you have learned something? What do they do to see, have you learned anything? What do they do with you? They give you a test. And I can feel palpitations going already, people. Oh, test. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Did you run out of ink? Do you have the pencils? Do you know the answers to the test? Have you been paying attention and doing the homework? When you've been doing the homework, and you've been a good student, I'm not going to ask how many of you were good students. I won't ask that question today. But when you have been a good student, you're not afraid of the test because you're almost looking forward to that. I want to show them what I have. But when you haven't, you're kind of afraid of the test because you want to make sure you do well. You want to make sure, because if you don't pass the test, in the finals especially, you have pop quiz. Oh, how many remember pop quizzes? Boy, that's palpitations. Pop quiz, sometimes they will warn you ahead of time. There's going to be a test on Thursday, you cram, and other times it's like, hello, pop quiz. And you feel like it's your dog at home. You're panting. So the test comes. And the thing is, in school, if you don't pass, especially the finals, I know in the past, now they have nobody gets left behind, but when I grew up, if you didn't pass, you might not go to the next one. You may not, because you haven't passed. You haven't learned what you needed to learn here, so you don't go to the next level, the next grade. There's a progression. There's things. So in the testing times for you and for me, there are tests that comes because God wants to bring you and me to another place. There's another grade. There's a constant growing that should be happening in your life and my life. How many say amen? I want to grow. I don't want to stay in kindergarten. In the Bible, you read about people. I can't even talk to you because you're still like children with the elementary things. I want to talk to you about things, but you're still like little children. God wants us to grow so that he can talk to us about more things, bigger things, greater things, experiencing more of him in our lives. You learn to be content, sufficient or adequate in oneself, contented with one's lot. Contentment is important. He learned that things didn't matter whether he had a lot or a little. It didn't matter to him. His life was filled with the strength that Jesus supplied. He wasn't like lacking things. Even now he says, I'm not writing to you because I have need. I'm writing for your benefit. One of the things you learn, it's important to have contentment. One of the things we learned, he learned, a lot of us have learned. How many realize you've learned, don't ever go shopping when you're hungry? How many of you have ever gone shopping when you're hungry? And you bought stuff and you wonder, why in the world am I buying this? Got peanut butter and all this. It's just your taste buds are going crazy. You feel like I'm going to die. I got to have this and have this. I've done that so many times. And I get to the when I get to the counter, I realize, what is all this? I start putting stuff back again because I realize I have this at home. I have this at home. But it's like I'm not going to make it home. I'm going to, in case I get stuck, I'm like, I have to eat something. Just don't ever go shopping when you're hungry. But when you, if you go after a nice meal, you had dinner and you go shopping, you're looking around and you have your list. And you, nothing moves you. Nothing moves you because you're content. You're full. You're satisfied. Paul learned this. He had a relationship with Jesus Christ that filled him. So when, and there were times when he had a little, times when he had a lot. When he had a little, that's a test. When he had a little, that's a challenge. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So Paul, in the same letter, one of the things he discovered, he writes it for everyone because he tasted of this himself. He said, because I'm going to know when you have a little, you can get anxious, right? A little, oops, the bank account, whatever, is a little. And he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart from anxiety and guard your mind from worry in Christ Jesus. I have learned that I can do all things through Christ. I have learned that when I'm anxious, I can call on his name. And he gives me peace that passes understanding. And I don't freak out with the stuff around me. I'm not moved by circumstances. I have learned the secret. Because there will be cloudy days. And when you have much, Christ helped him to pass that test. Because sometimes having much can be a worse test than having little. Because sometimes when you have much, it's easy to get our eyes off of Jesus Christ and put them on the things. Christ helped him to pass the test of not letting things own him. So he had cloudy days and sunny days, and they were the same to him. He rejoiced when he had a lot. He rejoiced when he had a little. There was a man who was tested by Jesus. Matthew 19 chapter, the gospel says this, verse 16. Just then a man came to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, experience life, keep the commandments. Which ones? Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, All these I've kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. How many knew that was a test? Pass or fail? What did he do? Pass or fail? He failed. Was there anything wrong with the man? Is there anything wrong with having things? Not at all. Not at all. In the church, you have people who are very wealthy. You have people who were poor. You had a variety of people in the body. Always been that way. Always been that way. Some people are gifted in making money. Good. There's nothing wrong with money. We'll talk about that. There's nothing wrong with property and possessions and having them. The problem was, it wasn't, if you really realize it, it wasn't that he had wealth and possessions. It was that the possessions had him. He didn't own them, they owned him. He couldn't let them go. You know, possessions have a voice. They talk to you. That's it's something in us. And it reaches out to you and says, you need me. You need to buy me. You need to buy me. Then you need to take, and then you need to take care of me. You need to polish me. You need to buy me insurance. You need to take clothes me. You need me. That's how marketing works. They make you think you need things. I gotta have this. And they put all kinds of glitter on and make you and pull you this way and pull you that way. Until things begin to own you, and now you're driven. You're driven like a wave driven by the wind. I gotta go here. I gotta have that. I have to have this. It owns us. God doesn't want you and I to be like that. Oh, He wants to fill us so that we're not moved. We're not pushed by that. So the things possessed him. They owned him, and he couldn't follow Jesus. He couldn't follow him. He failed the test. But true contentment allows you to enjoy a lot and allows you to enjoy a little. And those voices don't. You know, Israel suffered from that when the Bible, and Jeremiah talks about they were like camels sniffing in the wind because they needed. It's like food shopping when you're hungry because you're not filled, so the things have to fill you. When God's filling you, you're not possessed by things. When God's filling you, you don't need, you get things because you want to get it and you want to use it for whatever purposes, for the glory of God or in real need that is there, but you're not drawn in like a magnet pulling you and you have no say in it. God wants you and I to be free. It's for freedom He set us free. How many say amen? Amen. Nothing should move us. Nothing should possess us except for God Himself. So Paul learned that secret. I have a quick story I want to tell of myself and my wife when we were, our girls were like 2 and 5, and I had a test. I had a pretty good job in the bank. I was doing very, very well there, and everything was going fine. I had no issues, no needs. Financially, I was good. And then, but God, we have been working to plant churches here and there with Brooklyn Tabernacle. At the same time, we felt God stirring inside of our hearts, inside of my heart, and that God wanted to do something even beyond that with us. And then the call came. Leave everything you have. I owned an apartment back when we were younger. I owned an apartment. Leave everything you have, the job, everything, and I want you to go into the ministry. First time I heard that, and then it was not just going to the ministry, and you're going to leave and go to California. And you're going to go help out this little storefront where it was mouse infested and roach infested, little storefront. True story. And I'm like, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. And I said, but you know what? I was in a good place. Well, let me just pray about it. Let me pray. So we prayed. The moment we prayed, it's like God said, yes, you're going. Like, okay. We had peace. So we went and left everything. And I had heard stories about people, missionaries, who just God would do these divine, miraculous things for them. I had never experienced that. I had never needed to because I had money. I had resources. I didn't need to pray for miracles like those areas of the way. But now I had nothing. Now we left and God had us into the place of nothing. The church couldn't afford to support me. I had to get a job. Guess what? I went from being AVP in the bank to being a messenger. I was a messenger. And I began to discover, because God wasn't interested in my ego and my name. There's a work He wanted to do in my life. And my wife and I began to discover a lot of things about God being our provider. God began to do so many divine things. We never lacked a meal. We never lacked clothing. We couldn't afford medical insurance. I had the top physician in Kaiser Permanente who would take care of me and my daughters and wouldn't charge us a nickel for it. Wasn't even a Christian. I had people who would write checks who I never even, to this day, I haven't met them. God told me to send you this. I'm like, who are you? Do you even exist on this earth? I never met you. And writing checks and sending every month to be with it, to take care of us. Begin to see miracles, healings happen. Some of them were strange little things. I said, oh, God answering prayer. Because we had nowhere to turn but to God Himself. We were living with little. I'd never been living with little. Living with nothing. But God began to sustain and provide for us. So this is part of my formation. This was like my Bible school. I always remember one story. And there's many. I mean, I was driving a scooter. I was driving a scooter. That's all I could afford. I bought a used scooter on Craigslist or something. And to work back and forth. And then, but the winter came, and I started getting a cold and bronchitis. And the church said, you know, we got to pray. Pastor needs a car. So we prayed. We're praying for a car. And someone who's not a Christian tells one of the people from the church who's working there, listen, I have this car. I want to give it away. Do you know anybody who needs the car? Hello. I can go on and on with stories like that. There was one Sunday afternoon, we had a very poor church. We were meeting in the afternoon, renting from someone else. And I knew our church was poor, and I knew where we were, but God had been doing so many things, I didn't worry anymore. I was just, you're taking care of this, God. I wasn't perfect, I had issues, but certain areas I just didn't worry about it anymore. So I knew financially this particular Sunday, we're not going to have money to cover the bills. This is the last Sunday of the month. This is the last offering of the month. We're going to be short like $1,000. That, to me, back over there, $1,000 was like $50,000. We're going to be short $1,000. And I used to tell the ushers, listen, coming from Brooklyn, I'm from Brooklyn, so listen, if people put in like a large bill, always come and ask me because people put funny money in things. In Brooklyn, we would have that. People would check it out, is it real? So end of the service, usher comes up to me and says, Pastor, I got to... The offering, there's a check in the box for $1,000. So I look at the check. I see the name. I remember the person was in, I know who it was because there was a visitor in the audience that Sunday. And I knew the person from Brooklyn Tabernacle. So I go, I'm in San Francisco, California. I'm in San Francisco. So I go to the person, hi, how are you doing? It's good to see you here. And the person says to me, you know what? Is a person affluent, has a big investment banker. So I was with a client in Pismo Beach. It was like 4 hours away. This morning, and a client with Pismo Beach, and I'm out here doing some business over there. And I went to church this morning over there, but I just felt like something. No, I haven't really been to church today. God was stirring something in me. And as I was praying, God said to me, well, you need to find out about that church in San Francisco where Pastor O'Neill is working at. 4 hours away, she gets in the car and drives from there to San Francisco. We had an afternoon service, so she had time to get there, sits in the service, and when the offering comes, the guy says to her, write this amount on the check and put it into the offering basket. God is able to supply. How many say amen? Can we thank God together when he's able to do that? God does that. God does that kind of thing. My children discovered. We tell them the stories because they grew up in that. We're watching this. So that's so formative in me. I have faith in God. I've tasted of him providing in those areas. It's important that we have testimonies. It's important that you have real testimonies of God doing things in your life. That will build your faith. It will build your relationship. We walk by faith in him. God wants you to experience things in your life. So what is true prosperity? Again, Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and abundantly. They may prosper in all things and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Notice the priority. The prosperity of your soul will impact everything else about you. The prosperity of your relationship with God will remove anxiety from you, because anxiety brings all kinds of problems, illnesses and mental issues. No, when your soul is prospering, things begin to go well. You can work easily, and it's good to work, and it's good to do hard work. If you work hard, you'll do well. There's nothing wrong with that. But when your soul is prospering, you can't even work hard like you ought to. I want your soul to prosper. But what is true prosperity? Is it about having a lot of money? Benjamin Franklin said, money has never made man happy, nor will it. There is nothing in its nature to produce happiness. The more of it one has, the more one wants. How many find that to be true? Never enough. Never enough. What was that song from the showman? Never, 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 never. This is a different one, but never enough. John Ortberg wrote a great book. When the game is over, it all goes back in the box. When the game is over, you play Monopoly, you play games with money. How many games you win? You who has the most money at the end of the game? and you play and you win, and the winner has the most money or all the money, and then the game is over and you put everything back in the box. But it's said in the game of life, life is not a game. And everything we have here, though, will go back in the box. Only what's done for Christ, there was a song we used to sing, only what's done, only one life sooner will pass, only what's done for Christ will last. In heaven, when we sit together and you and I were sitting together and talking and loving God and loving each other, we're not going to be talking about our houses and cars over here and how nice it was and so forth, because they got streets of gold up there. I mean, I think Jesus' interior decorator is going to be better than ours. But we're going to talk about what Jesus did. We're going to talk about the things he did in our lives. I'm going to talk about these things that we're talking about here, testimony. Oh, I'm going to talk about Jesus. Remember when you did this? I remember when you did that in my life. I remember when he prayed, and maybe I was going like, but what you did, yeah, I remember that, Frank. I remember that too. Yes, he wants us to have abundant life. But then he says, Jesus himself says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Jesus' words. King David had wealth. But sometimes he lived in his palace, and sometimes he was living in caves. His words. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I cry out to the Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Asaph says, he writes in Psalm 73, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I close. God wants us to have abundant life. The real abundant life that God wants you and I to have, money can't buy it. Money can't buy it. Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts tried to pay for something that God wanted to give freely. And they said, may your money perish with you. You sought by money to get something that God gives freely. Abundant life is free. It's been paid for by Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus for all of us. Some of the gifts that come as a result of asking him to be our portion. And I close with the musicians would come. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Money can't buy. Peace that passes understanding. Love beyond comprehension. Contentment, satisfaction, forgiveness, reconciliation to God. Access. You don't have to pay to get in. The price has been paid. You got access right now, every moment, to draw near to God and God to draw near to you. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're called gifts because you can't pay for them. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faith, mildness, self-control, the fruit, the life of God. This is the fruit of God. This is not something you do. No, you don't do it. It's the Holy Spirit who gives that to you. How many need some love in your heart? You need patience. You need goodness. You need self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit. I know I prayed for one time, God, I have no self-control. I read books on self-control. Nothing helped. God, I got no self-control. I can't keep track. I can't keep myself focused. And I prayed, and the Holy Spirit, I found it just started to happen without me even noticing. Oh, God, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. I found things were not dragging me here and there anymore. The Holy Spirit, a fruit of God's Spirit. Money can't buy it. Purpose and calling. God has a purpose and a calling for each one of us. Seats. He has seats for you. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. You're sitting here, but folks, you are seating here, but if you're a Christian, you're also seating someplace else. It's a great seat. It's a great seat. It's a seat in heavenly places. It's next to God right now, next to Jesus Christ. It's a place of proximity and nearness to God. You can talk and look over to Jesus, God, Father. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. It's a place of authority. It's a place of where we're operating. We're living out the life God has for us, seated in heavenly places. Where am I sitting right now? God has purchased that seat for you. Admission has been paid. You don't pay for it. There's nothing you need to do for it. Money can't buy it. Jesus bought it. It's yours. You're seated now. Now, today, this moment, in heavenly places. Answered prayers. You got to have answered prayers in your life. You don't have because you don't ask, James says. God, you want me to ask. You want me to talk. You want me to bring down your will. You want me to bring heaven down on earth. Oh, I pray that the church of God would rise up and see what God has for us and what he wants to do among us and through us. Promises to live by. Hundreds of mothers and sisters and brothers. He says, there's nobody who's given up how, you know, friends and who doesn't get hundreds. Hundreds of mothers and sisters and brothers. In this room right now, hundreds of mothers and sisters and brothers. If in Christ, the body of Christ, God has given me to you and you to me. He's given us to one another. And the more we focus on him, the closer we'll be together. The more we realize God is my portion, we will connect with each other better. If we're living on the outside only, oh, we're so different and different colors and different races. I could care less that I'm Puerto Rican, except when I eat. Give me my rice and beans. But I can also do some lumpias over there. I can do some Italian food. I can do it, you know, pork fried rice. I'm good with everything. But we're brothers and sisters. Oh, we're members of one another in Christ. Oh, we have abundant life. The world can't give that to you. The world can't buy that for you. There's no price to connect that to you. Fellowship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Fullness of God. Fullness of the Spirit. I close the last verse, the book of Isaiah. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend your money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of faith. Can we pray? Father, this has just been to ignite in all of us, a fire and a flame and a hunger and a desire and an awareness, God, of who you are and what you want to do, what your word says, God. God, we want it to be our, today, work in us that it will be our profession, our testimony, our graduation. I have learned that God is my portion. I have learned because of that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because I have tasted and seen that God is good. So Holy Spirit, would you bring this reality to us now in our hearts, in our minds, by the faith that you birth in us, God. Work your works in us today, Lord. Have your way, God. Have your way. You're the potter. And let us be clay in your hands, God. We want to see. We want to taste. We want to move with you, God. We want to be filled with you, God, that we would not have to go anywhere looking for anything because God is my portion. Father, we ask this from you. God, we believe it from you today, Lord, because we know you're listening and we know you're true and you're loving and you're kind and you want to answer. You said, ask. And you shall receive. So God, today we thank you that we're going to see things happening in our homes, in our lives, in our car drives, in our commutes, in our jobs.